Welcome to the SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. We're talking today with Dr. David Maines, the executive director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. David, in today's podcast, we're continuing to talk about the public reading of Scripture. Our key sentence for this series states, Scripture can come alive for people as time and effort are put into the way it is read publicly. In the last podcast, we listened to a Chapel of the Air radio broadcast from many years ago that covered the key steps a person should take in preparing to read Scripture. Today, we turn to the subject of solo reading. You travel a great deal and visit many churches. When you think of the solo reading of Scripture, what particularly catches your attention when you attend a worship service?
I have come to believe, Dean, that like some people are good soloists, and some people are average soloists, and some people should never be asked to sing a solo, I think there are also some people who are magnificent Scripture readers. I think of one woman, I recall her voice. She was Irish, and just the accent was wonderful, but she also had incredible skill as a reader. And I can still hear her voice, and that was probably 10, 12 years ago. She just was skilled. That was a gift that God had given her. There are a number of people, I would put myself in this category, who are good Scripture readers. They're not exceptional Scripture readers, but they're good. And then there are a lot of people who probably will never be good Scripture readers, but could be better than they do if they practice a little. So there's a wide gamut there. Most of the time when Scripture is read, it's kind of ho-hum. It's not a big part of the service. I've been in services with you. You're a great Scripture reader, and I appreciate always when I'm involved with you in a service. So that's another one of my memories, okay?
Okay, well, I'm very flattered by that comment. There's a very large church in the Northeast, very prominent church, that streams their morning worship services on the internet for a reason that I don't know, but probably has something to do with the historic background of the church. They begin each worship service by having one of their elders read Scripture.
Okay.
9 out of 10 Sundays, it's a horrible experience. Most of the elders, which I'm sure are fine individuals and love the Lord deeply and are very effective in governing the church, read as if someone is holding a gun to their head, and they have zero emotion, zero voice inflection along the lines of, our Scripture reading for today is from Genesis 1.
Don't do any more. I don't want to hear any more.
In the beginning. Really, I'm not exaggerating. It is horrid. Someone that would come across that service streaming on the internet, if they did not have some other reason to want to watch that service, that Scripture reading, which is the first thing they see, just would completely turn them off. Now, the interesting thing is the pastor has a reputation of being an excellent pulpiteer. Mm-hmm. But nothing that's happening in the reading of Scripture is enhancing what he's doing in the service. Tradition aside, it would be far better if they had some people reading who really could read Scripture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's such a common thing in churches, that the Scripture just, it's not given the attention it needs to be given.
Well, today we're going to listen to another of those Chapel of the Air radio broadcasts, an exchange between you and your wife, Karen, on this very topic, the topic of solo reading of Scripture. So let's do that.
Now we'd like to jump ahead into the next message of this series. David, what's the topic?
Well, Ted, our topic for today is special techniques for solo readers of Scripture, but maybe that's coming too fast. I think it might be a good idea just to say where we've been. We spent Monday surveying the problem and saying that we have a difficulty here because usually the reading of Scripture in our church services is not that interesting to those who are listening. And then Tuesday,
well, we gave some ideas for that person whose turn it was to read. Very often you're called and asked to read Scripture, and so we tried to give you some very simple hints as far as how to do this well. to spend time practicing before you even read, for example.
To somehow get into that scripture so that you can re-say what is being said in your own words, and at that point probably have a good understanding of what's important and what isn't, and then can go back and read it with the right inflection that you have in mind. But now we're into today's topic again, which is special techniques for solo readers.
I think it's important to emphasize, David, that none of these special techniques, I don't feel that any of them would be inappropriate in even the most conservative of churches. And I think that's often what is so sad about our lack in the public reading of Scripture, is that some very simple, non-threatening ideas can make the Scripture come alive. And so we have purposely tried to present ideas that would not be upsetting to very traditional and conservative churches.
Okay, we have a lot of ideas to share. Let's kick off with number one.
Well, number one is memorize. You and I were very impressed when we were early married young Christians in a church by an older man who had committed portions of Scripture to memory. And I can remember this gray-haired old man getting up in church and reciting whole passages, whole chapters. Now, there is something exceedingly effective about standing before a congregation and through the fact that you have memorized that portion, that assigned portion or a portion that you love, you are saying, this is so important to me that I have spent the time to make it my own. So memorization is one of the simple techniques that we would recommend.
I have a feeling, Karen, if in a church service this Sunday a man would stand up and say, the scripture I've been asked to read has become so important to me this week that I've committed it to memory, I think that individual would have the attention of everyone. Now, it's possible that someone would have a different opinion and say, he's doing that to show off. Probably nothing we mention will not have a different side to it, but we're just saying let's explore some of these. I think another area to enhance the understanding and appreciation of Scripture is to kind of break up a passage with appropriate comments. Sometimes the Bible is too hard to understand if it just comes at you directly. There's a text which is a very exciting text. It comes out of Nehemiah chapter 8, where Ezra is reading to the people. And they're reading for a long time. Day by day, from the first day to the last, he read from the book of the law of God, and they kept the feast 7 days. So he's been reading a good while. In fact, if you get at the text, it says, he will share, others will share. And they read from the book, from the law of God, clearly, and they gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. So in Nehemiah 8, it's not that they're preaching per se. They are reading the Bible, but they are breaking up the reading sections with explanation so the people can grasp what is being said. And that's just a technique again. It says, I don't want to overwhelm you. Let me just share a little what is happening.
I think what is so powerful in that passage on the public reading of the Word is the response of the audience, which is something that we talked about yesterday. The scripture says, the Levites who taught the people said to all the people, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, be quiet, for this day is holy. Do not be grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and drink and to send portions and to make great rejoicing, because they had understood the words that were declared to them. Beautiful,
isn't
it? You
have to say it was a meaningful time, the wide gamut of emotion. Yes, the scripture had been very effective. Again, the listener response gives us a good understanding of whether or not God is communicating through his scriptures. Okay, let's go through a bunch more. Contrasting versions of scripture could be helpful. So you say, I read it now in the version that most of you have and are comfortable with, and now let me read it a second time in a new paraphrase or in another version, because sometimes it adds to your comprehension.
That's a beautiful idea, David. One that I saw used recently in the church that we attend that I had never experienced before was the reading of parallel passages. And the preaching was on the parable of the talents. And one portion is in Matthew that talks about the talents, and the other is in Luke. And they were read in contrast to each other. And then the preaching emphasized the differences as well as the commonality of both passages. It was a beautiful presentation.
Okay, so reading parallel passages. Here's another idea, which would be to mix scripture, say, with poetry. And it could even be poetry based on scripture. Someone could read a psalm, and then there are many poems that are based on the psalms, and could say, now here are the same thoughts put into poetry, and then read the poetry.
That could even be done if someone wanted to take a little more time and script it, where you would read some scripture and then interweave poetry and then read a little more scripture and then interweave poetry that just reemphasizes what that scripture is saying. That's also very effective. Takes a little more planning than someone with a skill who can script it.
Music is another one that can be mixed with scripture very effectively. To give a simple illustration, I could think of someone reading Psalm 23, and when they come toward the end, the introduction to Psalm 23 being sung by someone would be played underneath, and then you'd move right from the scripture being read to the scripture being sung.
A good organist or pianist can underscore the importance of the public reading of scripture by just very gently coming underneath the reader with the playing of their instruments, and that also is very effective.
Sound effects. Now, we're going to illustrate, and once again, I'm going to call on Ted Seeley here. Ted, I have given you this passage from Nehemiah, which is several chapters earlier, Nehemiah chapter 2, and I want you to read an extended paragraph, and as you do so, we're going to accent what you do with sound effects, and we'll let people see how it sounds.
So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. Then I arose in the night, I and a few men with me, and I told no one what my God had put into my heart to do for Jerusalem. There was no beast with me but the beast on which I rode. I went out by night by the valley gate, to the jackal's well, and to the dung gate, and I inspected the walls of Jerusalem which were broken down, and its gates which had been destroyed by fire. Then I went on to the fountain gate and to the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. Then I went up in the night by the valley and inspected the wall. I turned back and entered by the valley gate and so returned. And the officials did not know where I had gone or what I was doing. And I had not yet told the Jews, the priests, the nobles, the officials, and the rest that were to do the work.
You can kind of feel the night, can't you, Karen?
I'd like to make one caution at this point. I think sometimes we have people who are eager beavers wanting to employ their creativity who might be tempted to overdo this particular idea, sound effects. And I have a terrible vision of massive overuse of sound effects that would not enhance the reading of the scripture. In fact, it would detract from it. So when we use some of these tools, we have to be very careful to do so before the Lord and to ask ourselves if the tools that we are using are indeed enhancing the scripture or if there would be the danger of distracting from that reading.
Okay, we don't want to allow, on the one hand, a lack of comprehension to take away from God's word, but we don't want excessive aids to detract from God's word either. Let's put it into a sentence. Communication aids should be used when they enhance people's understanding of God's word. That's what we're saying. Okay, well, let's give some more techniques.
Well, I have another idea, which would be very simple, but it's repetition. We talked about the tune-out factor when it came to the time in the worship service for the reading of scripture. And I think something else that might help understanding would be for a reader to read his portion of scripture and then to say, "Now I'm going to read that portion again." And simply just to repeat it, because very likely they haven't heard it as well as they could have heard it the first reading, and they could profit from a second reading.
Another special technique, Karen, for a solo reader would be to purposely misread. I do that quite often in our family times when I read the Bible. I say something like, "And they brought the children to Jesus, and Jesus said, 'Oh, I have absolutely no time for those little kids. What are you doing bothering me with them?'" Well, at that point, the attention is there.
And generally we have little voices that say, "That's not the way it goes." Now, I think that could be used in a good sense in church services. It would be fun to see someone experiment with it and try it.
Changing the voice, that's another one where a person could change voice when a character speaks as opposed to his normal reading voice on the narrative. Choosing the right person would be very important, too, the right person to read. If I'm going to read a passage on justice, I might choose
a lawyer would be, or a judge if you have a judge in the church. I can see where you would have Christmas readings, and you might perhaps have the Magnificat and invite a young woman who is expecting her first baby to read that. And I think that would be very powerful.
I think you're right, Karen. Communication aids should be used when they enhance people's understanding of God's word. Now, tomorrow we're going to move into two voices, reading together in God's word.
fascinating series of hints and tips. I'm just amazed at the things you packed into these 12-minute radio broadcasts.
They were timely, weren't they? It's still timely for today,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, it's amazing that something that was recorded many years ago is still fresh and timely and appropriate today. I hope that our podcast listeners have enjoyed today's podcast even as much as we have sitting here listening to these older radio broadcasts. We do thank you for joining us for our time together. You found our sermoncoach.com podcast on our website, sermoncoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We have a lot of resources there to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. We invite you to look around the website and see if you might find something that you'll find helpful. And we invite you to join us for our next SermonCoach.com podcast.